And that is In God, My Faithful God. And it's going to be what we are talking about on this October the 18th in the year of our Lord 2016. It's a Rumination Tuesday with our friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. But before we get to the hymn, I just want to do two housekeeping duties. As I indicated yesterday, our good friend, the Reverend Mark Laverty, well, he's not a reverend, but he's an organist at Zion in Maryland Heights. He knows so much theology, I consider him to be a pastor. But today at 11 a.m. at St. Paul de Pere, it will be the funeral of his mother, Lois Ruth Laverty. And so we keep the family in our prayers. The other item I just want to mention is we've been talking a lot about Zachary Broker, the 9-month-old who had the heart transplant. As I indicated, when I visited in the hospital, his mother was holding him. He was no longer in the bed, and many of the attachments to his body were gone, even the oxygen. So we are having what's called a red out game at Trinity Lutheran, and that's in Orchard Farm this coming Wednesday. There'll be a special ceremony during the volleyball game to raise awareness on congenital heart defects. And so we will have For the Love of Zachary shirts available for sale, a bake sale, and asking everyone to wear red. All proceeds will be raised to help the Broker family. If you like to donate baked goods, please bring to the cafeteria before the games begin at 4:30 p.m. And I've seen these volleyball players. They're very good. And some of them are in my confirmation class. So we should have a good time. So without further ado, let's get back to the hymn, In God, My Faithful God. It's not one that's very familiar to you, is it, Pastor Smith?
No. So are you going to be playing volleyball, or are you going to be accepting the baked goods? Let me guess.
I already have a red shirt they've given me, and the main reason I go to the volleyball games is to get the hot dogs, because they're only a dollar.
I thought you'd be collecting the baked goods in the...
No. We have trained people who do that, you know, that are a part of the school. And so we're looking forward. I'm wondering if they're going to sell the baked goods or give them out for free for those who are attending. Well, I'll be there to find out.
You'll find out.
Yes. So, In God, My Faithful God, this hymn is not that familiar a hymn. In fact, we're not even sure who wrote it. We think a man named Lübeck before 1603, but guess who the translator is?
Catherine Winkworth, our favorite.
Yeah, my favorite translator, because she does such a good job. She died, by the way, in 1878. But she translates In God, My Faithful God.
Wouldn't you be surprised to know how much we mention her in our radio program?
No, because her name's in the hymnal all the time. Yeah, I don't know. She just seems to have been a good translator from primarily the German to the English. But do you want to read the first stanza?
Sure. In God, my faithful God, I trust when dark my road. Great woes may overtake me, yet he will not forsake me. My troubles he can alter, his hand lets nothing falter.
Yes. What this is basically talking about is that we have trust when our road is dark and great woes may overtake me. So my question was, wait a minute, if we trust in God, how come we have bad times?
Well, we can't lose as Christians. He will. It's like the hymn verse says, my troubles he can alter. You know, he says, in this world we have many troubles, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he hasn't promised that our lives will be free from trouble, but what he has promised, and this is so comforting, is that all of those troubles can be worked out for our good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we can't lose as Christians.
We had a very good example of that in an Old Testament reading from the book of Ruth. Naomi sure didn't feel right. Like things were going right,
no.
And that she was even being judged by God because she not only lost her husband, but her two sons.
Two sons, right.
Therefore, the line wasn't going to be continued. But Ruth came back with her to her land and met a guy named Boaz,
right,
who ended up marrying Ruth, redeeming her. And then out of that line came none other than David.
King David.
Yes.
So Naomi ended up being what? The great-great-grandmother of King David?
Yes. In fact, at the end of Ruth, Naomi is actually taking care of Obed, which was the
right
son of the two of them. And the women around say, look, Naomi now has a son.
Yes.
Referring to Ruth's child as her son.
And then, of course, the greater David, Jesus, would
yes
descend from them too.
That's the importance of Ruth. I know a lot of people like using that passage, your God will be my God, etc., for a marriage ceremony. But Naomi and Ruth weren't getting married. This isn't the year 2016 back then. So although it's a wonderful thing about families sticking together and following the God, the fact that Ruth said, I will be buried, you know, in your land shows
yes
that she trusted in the true God, Yahweh, and therefore he used her to continue. She's, of course, a Moabite.
Yeah, Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a daughter of the Moab people. Right?
So she's a Gentile, and yet Matthew includes her.
Right.
Do you remember?
And Moab was a country that engaged in child sacrifices. You know, I mean,
yes,
it was a heathen nation.
Yeah, at this time, they still were somewhat enemies of Israel. Later on, God said not to marry, intermarry. But Boaz, do you remember who his mother was?
Ah, Boaz, who would?
Her name is also in the Matthew genealogy.
Okay, enlighten me.
Rahab the prostitute.
Oh, that wasn't his mother, was
yes
it?
Yes.
Was it his mother or was it like an ancestor?
No,
it was his mother was Rahab the harlot?
Yes.
See, isn't that unbelievable?
And I mean, her name is in the Matthew
yes
thing.
She's in the lineage too, leading up to Christ.
So what we say, therefore, is that Jesus had both Jewish and Gentile blood.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Boy.
A lot of people don't realize
I didn't realize about Boaz's mother being Rahab.
Yeah.
I knew Rahab was in the line, but I didn't know that was Boaz's mother.
Yep.
Boy.
So very interesting. All you have to do is look up Matthew and see that. And then that leads to David, of
yes
course. And he, of course, leads to Jesus.
Christ.
So the main point of the book of Ruth, talking about this fact, when I have a dark road like Naomi, her name, Naomi, she changed it to Mara, which meant
bitter.
And of course, afterwards, she referred back to Naomi.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting in God, my faithful God. So though things seem to be falling around about us, God is still faithful to
absolutely
us.
Absolutely. And we need to remember that in light of current events, like, you know, we get disgusted, we get frustrated with the way the election process is going, but God's still in control.
President Harrison got elected. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the national election.
Oh, there's another national election
there is,
coming
yes
up? Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I hope Reagan makes it. All righty.
Verse. That would be good, too, yes.
That's true.
My sins fill me with care, yet I will not despair. I build on Christ who loves me. From this rock, nothing moves me. To him I will surrender, to him my soul's defender.
What does it mean? A child is asking, how do I surrender to Jesus? What does that mean?
Well, surrendering is giving up. It's a little misleading because, you know, we cannot believe in Jesus as our Savior without the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's not like we can really...
But once we believe in
once
him...
Once we believe, we turn our lives over to him. That's true.
And so surrender means, if you don't surrender, then you're doing what you want to do.
Right.
And what is in your self-interest? What's in it for me? But through faith in Christ, we then say, you know, how can I give glory to Jesus? And that's how we surrender our desires for his will.
That's right. Our will is submitted to his will.
Because what fills us with care, according to this verse?
My sins fill me with care.
Yes. And yet we will not despair. The devil just loves to give us the impression, how do you think you're going to be saved with all those sins?
Right. That's the way he works.
Yes. You know, depending on who's in the adult instruction, when I have someone who is already a Christian, I have a different adult instruction, because what we want to do is make it clear Lutheran theology. There's two chapters I like using to show true Lutheran theology, which of course means the distinctions between law and gospel. The one is Galatians 3.
Right.
And the other one is Romans 4, mm-hmm. where it talks about that Abraham was not saved by his works, but he was saved through faith. And I did that one on Sunday in the Bible class, and we hardly could get through it because there were just so many points in it. But if you ever, as a Lutheran, want to share with someone the distinct about Lutheranism in contrast to other Christians, then Galatians 3 and Romans 4 can't be beat.
Galatians 3 and Romans 4.
Yeah.
We need to remember that.
Yes. And tomorrow, I had thought about doing Romans 4, but we had a very interesting gospel last week that many refer to as the parable of the unjust judge.
Yes, yes, yes. That is good. That is good.
Yeah. So
I mean, Jesus says, do you hear how the unjust, you know, he finally answers this woman's
right.
request. And yet God, of course, the righteous of all judges, will, you know, he won't hesitate to answer our prayers.
Yeah, that's
so it's an encouragement on praying and keep praying.
Yeah, I probably disagree with that quite a bit.
Okay.
Because parables should not end up with the law, namely pray a lot. I'm going to show tomorrow, and I have been sold on this interpretation, that Jesus is the unjust judge.
Okay, would you call that's called a parable in the wide sense. Would you call it a parable in the strict sense of the word, or would
yes.
you call it an illustrative story?
There's two kinds of parables in the Bible. The one talks about
of the kingdom.
Yes, of the kingdom of God, what's happening here on earth. And the other one talks about, you know, God's will for us. Like when you go to a banquet, don't take the highest seat and this kind of thing. That's just talking about morality and God's wishes for us. Well, tomorrow I'm going to take it as a kingdom of heaven parable.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell you what it is, or nobody will tune in tomorrow. But that's what we're going to be doing. It's called Insight Wednesday.
Okay.
And so if you're all interested in seeing how Jesus is the unjust judge, you'll want to tune in.
Oh, boy. I've got to listen to that.
Stanza 3, I'll read. If death my portion be, it brings great gain to me. It speeds my life's endeavor to live with Christ forever. He gives me joy in sorrow, come death now or tomorrow. So if you're having a child in your home, there's a couple of words that need explanation here. First of all, it speeds my life's endeavor. Well, what's a synonym for endeavor?
Striving.
Yes. What we strive for, what we would hope for. And what is that hope, according to that line?
To live with Christ forever.
Yes. So how many people think that if death my portion be, it brings great gain to me? A lot of people don't see death as gain.
Well, we're with Jesus in a blissful existence.
Exactly.
With Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, that's heaven.
Jesus himself said it, that Stephen replicated when he was being stoned. Father, into thy hands I
commit my spirit.
Right. And that's what Stephen asked.
Stephen said that same thing, right?
Also. But he also said another thing Jesus said.
Hold this not to their account.
Yes.
Hold this sin,
that's really
this
important.
Execution, not to their account.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, Paul says something like that in the epistle for this coming Sunday, where he's talking about that. I didn't have any friends when I first started off, you know, but hold that not to their account. By the way, when I was talking to these prisoners, these federal prisoners, trying to explain the word forgiveness, it suddenly struck me that the best way to understand it is that they are no longer held accountable. And I thought, boy, that's pretty good insight I have. Until I read Romans 4, where that's exactly what Paul says, that what forgiveness is, God no longer holds accounts our sins against us, even uses the word count. And so, you know, it once more taught me, I am best when I am a super plagiarist, when I simply repeat what others have said.
Right.
And that's God's word.
Sure.
A proper pastor simply repeats God's word. And one of the things that comes up also here is you aren't doing proper preaching. There was a false teacher at the time of Luther who thought we shouldn't use the law, just the gospel. In fact, who's that? Who's got the biggest congregation in the country? Joel
Osteen.
See, and he believes that. He says,
really? Say that again. What does he believe?
That you don't use the law. You only use good news.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yes, I know.
You preach the law and the gospel.
You remember the guy in the Reformation time? It was Agricola.
Agricola, right.
Yeah, who had that view. And so he didn't have any law. He thought that just hearing the gospel was sufficient, that the law wasn't necessary for Christians anymore. But the law obviously is necessary, like in the government, in order that you keep from doing what is wrong.
We need the law to bring us to our knees, to help us.
And that's the second use.
You're right.
The use of the law is a mirror, showing you what you truly are.
And that we're lost without the Savior.
You see, you can't preach good news without people first becoming aware, what's the bad news? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Agricola was, now is that what we called gospel reductionism?
Can be, yes.
Yeah, when we don't preach the law.
And only the gospel
right.
is important. Yeah, you know, October 15th is a really important date in the government. It's the last date where you can get your income tax in.
Is that right? October the 15th?
Yes.
I always thought, well, April 15th.
No, April 15th is just when they would like to have it.
If you get an extension, that's the last day.
No,
is that right?
It's an automatic
you
thing.
You always wait till October the 15th.
Right, because imagine if I died in August and I didn't waste all my time doing my income tax. I think it's pretty good.
Okay, Tom.
And this time it was October 17th because the 15th was a Saturday. So you had two extra days. Now, I have it.
Don't do this at home, folks.
No, I don't do it at home. In fact, if you don't owe money, you can wait 2 years to send in your income tax if you've paid ahead. So I walked in to Louise and I said, I got good news for you and bad news. What's the good news? Is we don't owe anything to state tax. What was the bad news? We do owe the federal. And actually, I didn't owe any tax. You know where they got me? Social Security.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, because you can subtract all your housing, and I have plenty of subtractions that I haven't paid federal tax. But there was some we had to pay. And but you're fine if you put it in the mailbox dating it the 17th. So I just wrote out a check and put it in the mail, and we're fine. But there's always good news, and there's always bad news. And that's what this hymn is talking about, that God works things out even if you have bad news. Go ahead and read stanza 4.
O Jesus Christ, my Lord, so meek in deed and word, You suffered death to save us, because your love would have us be heirs of heavenly gladness when ends this life of sadness.
So notice how this life is characterized. It's a life of sadness.
A veil of tears, as we say.
Right, right. That a person is finally taken from this veil of tears to be with Jesus. Now, we're sad that a loved one leaves because we miss him or her. But even when Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, it says he wept.
He wept, right. Shortest verse in the Bible.
Well,
in the King James.
That may be. There's two other verses that are shorter, and one is in the Hebrew, one is in the Greek. Uh-huh. If you count the number of letters, it's actually the third shortest verse, but that's another thing. You're probably correct. In the English, it might be the shortest verse. But why would he weep if you're bringing him back from the dead?
Because it was his dear friend, along with Mary and Martha. Jesus is true man as well as true God.
That's right.
He had emotions just like the rest of us.
Yes.
He could see firsthand, you know, the sorrow that death brings.
The consequences
right.
of sin. Yeah, that's one reason. I have another reason. Because he was going to bring him back from the dead.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
Which means he has to die again.
Yes.
And Lazarus then became an example of what Jesus can do with all of us. And remember, it's really a confusing word for a lot of people. He says, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you will never die.
Yes.
And people don't understand that because there's death all around us. But we're talking about the
eternal death.
Not only that, but that the Christian never dies. Because at the moment of her death, she's immediately with Jesus.
Immediately
in the
with
spirit.
Jesus, right.
All right, I'll read the last. So be it then, I say, with all my heart each day. Dear Lord, we all adore you. We sing for joy before you. Guide us while here we wander until we praise you yonder. So we as Christians adore him. And we sing for joy before him. But guide us while here we wander. What does that mean? How does God guide us?
Well, through his word.
Yes.
He encourages us with his sacraments, his assurance in baptism and the Holy Supper. So he guides us that way. You can't go, you know, like that old expression, you don't fall far when you're on your knees. You can't fall far.
Oh, that's good.
You can't fall far when you can't wander far when you're into God's word. When
yes.
you've got a lamp is a light unto my feet. No, how's it? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
And he also refers to himself as the light of the world.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of we don't have that ability sometimes. But at Trinity School, the confirmation, the night one, when it's over, it's dark out.
Yes.
And I was just collecting my books. The kids had already left because their parents are waiting for them to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started going out of the room, all the lights were out. And I could hardly see anything.
Yeah, and you're not as familiar with that building probably.
No, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So when I was going up the stairs, I could hardly see the stairs. And then, they have a light you can turn on, and then when you get to the door, you can turn it off. And so I was able to do that. But their parking lot, their lights on the outside of the doors aren't fixed yet. They're burned out. And I could not find my car when I walked out in the parking lot. And
you couldn't find that...
No. So I finally got a flashlight Louise gave me, and that was really pretty good. But you know my favorite television station, QVC, they had these new military lights.
Oh, yes. So the ones that you can drive over and they won't
squash.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I don't care.
And you can freeze them and everything.
Yeah,
and
I kind of watched those advertisements. They had some band deodorant, and what they did, they put a different band on the guy's underarm, and then they blew grass that all stuck to him.
I've seen that.
So the only thing I could say is Well, don't, if you're going to have grass in your underarm, don't. But who has grass on their underarm? It was crazy. So what are you preaching on this Sunday?
In fact, I've got a seminary student preaching this Sunday.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And
I'll be talking to him tonight about what he will be preaching.
Yes. Do you read their sermons? I always do ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. We try.
Seminary.
You
bet. I do that. And how do you get to your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out in Crestwood. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection out in Crestwood, 8646 New Sappington Road. And we have a Sunday service at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. And we have a Saturday evening service. If you can't make Sunday, Saturday evening at 5.
And I'll be at Trinity Lutheran Church because we're going to have the volleyball tomorrow. Right now, I'm going over to St. Paul de Pere for the funeral. And then Thursday night at Trinity Lutheran, we've got a Bible study at 7 p.m. that everyone is welcome to. But we'll look forward to seeing you next week then. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow on Insight Wednesday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.